This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl. Montrose School District is now screening for COVID symptoms upon arrival at all schools. They were required last school year, but restrictions were loosened as this school year started. According to Montrose Press, Superintendent Dr. Carrie Stevenson made the decision based on a recommendation of the district's COVID response team. Here's what MCSD Public Information Officer Matt Jenkins told KVNF News last month.
We're absolutely going to continue to keep our community informed as to what the viral transmission positivity is across school campuses. The plans we have are going to be based on the data and the actual local conditions in our schools. We're going to show that data to the public, and we're going to be able to say, look, here is how we are making our decisions.
Initially, screenings began at Johnson Elementary and Olathe Middle High School on September 7th in response to a spike in positive COVID cases, with 6 at Johnson and 4 at Olathe. On September 15th, they were deployed at Centennial Middle School following news of 6 cases there. Over the next week, those schools reported no new positive cases. Jenkins calls it, quote, a really effective strategy. Only 22% of the state's K-12 schools have enrolled in Colorado's weekly COVID testing program so far, reports the Denver Post. Without routine testing, schools face a higher risk of transmission while following more lax quarantine guidance this school year. The CDPHE hopes to increase the number of schools actively testing and is offering $25 to students when they get tested for the first time and $10 for each subsequent weekly test. Delta County has revamped its COVID dashboard, now offering a date range search function. Another section of the dashboard helps the community assess the level of risk in the county. Currently, the one-week case rate is at 173.2 per 100,000 persons. That's up 8%. The county's one-week positivity rate is 9%. Down 1.2%. The county's ICU capacity is at 67% with a total of 4 COVID patients in the hospital. The dashboard also has a section devoted to vaccination rates in the county. To date, 46% of the county is fully vaccinated. 10.7% of COVID cases were among those fully vaccinated, with 89.3% of total cases among those not vaccinated. The state vaccine bus will be at the Mountain Harvest Festival in Paonia from 4 to 8 p.m. tomorrow, and at Cleveland Park in Montrose from 9 a.m. to 5 this Sunday. Free COVID testing is available at Delta County Health every Tuesday by appointment and every Wednesday at North Fork EMS in Hotchkiss from 10 a.m. to 1. Testing continues on Fridays at Trueview Drive-In from 9 a.m. to 2. Delta Health and River Valley Clinics are testing too. Delta County voters will elect 2 new school board members this November. Lisa Young reports for the Delta County Independent. The open positions are for District 1, currently held by Ron German, and District 5, currently held by Jan Tuen, who serves as board president. Election ballots will be mailed to all active Delta County voters starting October 11th. In-person voting begins at the Delta County Courthouse in Delta on October 25th. In-person voting will also be available at the North Fork Annex in Hotchkiss on Election Day, November 2nd. A candidate forum is scheduled for September 28th at 6 p.m. at the Surface Creek Community Church in Austin, hosted by the Delta County Republicans. The forum is open to the public. State lawmakers are raising the minimum wage for healthcare workers who treat patients at their homes. The Colorado Health Institute says direct care workers have endured challenges during the pandemic, many making as little as $11 per hour. Starting next year, workers who are paid with state money will earn a minimum of $15 an hour. Governor Jared Polis says wage increases will help retain caregivers when more older adults need care. Energy Fuels, a Denver-based company, hosted an open house last weekend at the White Earth Mill they purchased in eastern Utah. Production and international distribution of the most advanced form of rare earth materials is considered key to supporting President Joe Biden's green energy plan. Kate Redmond spoke with their CEO as well as critics of the company.
Green technologies such as wind turbines and electric cars rely on rare earth minerals that come almost exclusively from China. Now a company headquartered in Denver that is operating in the Four Corners area of Utah is poised to become the domestic supplier of rare earth elements required for microchips and semiconductors. Energy Fuels purchased the White Mesa Mill in eastern Utah in 2012. Their company seeks to revive not only the rare earth minerals domestic market, but also Utah's uranium industry. Mark Chalmers, president and CEO of Energy Fuels, talked with me about the perils of dependence on China for the building blocks of our technological advances.
So many of these critical elements that are in these high-tech appliances has become offshored with China. That complete dependence, you know, when we really don't even have the capability to respond should scare people. And I think it's finally getting people's attention. We think our company is leading the charge in the region, San Juan County and the Four Corners region, on being able to fill a lot of those gaps.
The White Mesa Mill is the only mill of its kind in the United States. They are the only fully licensed and operating conventional uranium mill with a capacity of over 8 million pounds of uranium per year. They are also receiving monazite sands from Georgia for rare earth mineral processing. I asked Chalmers if these minerals can be recaptured through electronic recycling.
The projected demand for rare earths, the elements that you use for the high-efficiency magnets, is projected to increase fivefold over 10 years. So we need a lot of new materials because the demand will far outstrip the ability to recycle.
The White Mesa Mill and the uranium mines in the western part of the Four Corners region have a long legacy of contamination. The Ute and the Dene people have suffered for six decades with ill health and the denigration of their water, air, and land. In a study cited in the Salt Lake City Tribune, residents near the uranium mill in Monticello, Utah, which has since closed, were twice as likely to contract lung or stomach cancer than the national average. Energy Fuels CEO Mark Chalmers acknowledges the dangers of uranium mining methods used during the Cold War, but says developments in regulatory standards and uranium processing technologies have changed how the industry operates. Regina Lopez-Whiteskunk, tribal member and former tribal council member of the Ute Mountain Ute, disagrees. She says there is no safe way to process uranium.
I don't believe that Energy Fuels can collect this mineral responsibly without having some ill effects on the people, the land, and the livestock and the wildlife that's in that area. In the past, because of the state of each of the tribes' economies, they think that offering some money and some positions within the mill is going to compensate for things that cannot be repaired. So much irreparable damage is done through the collection of this mineral, mainly the water quality, which they will deny up and down that it doesn't affect it, but it absolutely does affect it and has. It's just that a lot of the data collection from the agencies is just never really compiled to determine that.
Energy Fuels is expected to benefit from President Biden's interest in domesticating sources of rare earth minerals. The United States currently imports about 80% of its rare earth requirements from China. Biden's focus on green infrastructure spending could see investments and contracts in companies like Energy Fuels. But Lopez-Whiteskunk says the cost is too high.
It's a big price to pay for a future that may not be able to be healed.
I'm Kate Redmond for KVNF News.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.